Today, Barbara Friedman is the one, and she is in control of Bob's wire. We're getting wired with her this morning. The Tshwane Metros, Itigwini and Ekurhuleni trending as events continue to unfold in what is called a seismic shift in SA politics this morning. I don't know whether it rocked my world, but it certainly rocked the ANC's world,
it
definitely.
It really has. And
A devastating loss of two crucial Gauteng metros.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is, if you were following on Twitter or I suppose 24 our news and saw some of the interviews that were done with the ANC in Tshwane, they backed down. I mean, they didn't contest the election in the Tshwane Council, and Randall Williams was uncontested. So, you know, they're saying, of course, the ANC, let's talk about that. You know, they're going, well, the reason that we did that is because all these little parties were ganging up against the ANC. That's what Jacob Kawe, the ANC's regional secretary in the area, said. He said, we noticed a trend of ganging up against the ANC. If you continue to fall and you don't assess why, you are weak leadership. Then Jesse Duarte went on, I don't know if you saw, there was a video of her on Twitter that's been getting quite a lot of traction. And she kind of gave a very dramatic statement of, you know, the people have not rejected the ANC because they've got the majority of ward councillors. But she said, have courage and be strong. Let us close ranks and let us move forward. And, even Dr. Dlamini Zuma went onto Twitter and said, comrades, we accept the outcomes of the first council meetings, sad and painful as it is. This is a call to focus on rebuilding our beloved and glorious movement.
Well,
and people writing there, but you've actually robbed this country for years.
Yeah.
So not sure about that.
I think one of my first statements actually just directly after the election was that political parties woke up to a very woken up electorate. And the electorate is showing them something completely different, even though a lot of them will say, you know, it was a low voter turnout and things. But at the end of the day, whether it was a low voter turnout, the people have spoken. And the direction is being shown. So it's kind of lick your wounds, but, you know, the gracious thing to do is admit that, you know.
Which they're not.
People, which they're not doing.
They're not doing. They're saying we're going to regroup.
Yeah.
I mean, Itigwini is the last of the big metros that we're watching closely today. And analysts saying that's probably going to get quite messy. But Helen Ziller was actually on with John Matham yesterday, she said it was unbelievable. They didn't expect this haul of metros. But she also explained about places like Richards Bay, where the IFP had been in an agreement with the ANC. Then they had a fight and they walked away. And so in the end, they sided with the DA. And I suppose that's what people are looking at now in Itigwini. The same thing happened. Or the IFP not side with the ANC, in which case the DA probably will end up with control there.
Yeah, it's like siding with your black sheep of the family. You can't side with the black sheep of the family.
And in KZN, where I think there's been a clear move
indication
of support towards the IFP in the northern areas of KZN.
Mm.
They won a lot of...
The fake news on Facebook, talking about this, is that there was this picture circulating on Monday with the George floods about this aeroplane that sort of crashed on George Airport.
Oh, goodness.
But it was a 2009 photograph, and it was in such bad taste. When people were battling and people were struggling to actually really, you know, just to survive and just to get out of the flash floods to put up fake news. But I suppose, you know, to each his own. And this fake news helped to fuel the border crisis in Europe, and the role of Facebook in bolstering the Belarusian president Alexander Lukashenko's migration offensive with fake adverts, assuring people to say, you know, here's a safe passage to Europe.
Yeah, and what this one research group is arguing is that this has been a little bit underreported. So we know that Lukashenko, you know, is having a big standoff with the EU and is very unhappy about sanctions. And so that's what they're arguing is the reason he's fueling these efforts for people, migrants, to come into Poland, and this whole standoff on the border between Belarus and Poland. But what this research is now showing is that there have been hundreds of Facebook groups and adverts on using social media platforms on Facebook. And this is my issue with Facebook. And these have been proved to be charlatans and profiteers, basically saying to these poor people who want to these sort of refugees who want to come into Europe, if you pay us 7,000 euros, we'll guarantee you entry into Europe through the back door, which is Belarus or Poland. And when they get there, it is not true. And for me, this is the heartbreaking thing. You know, there are people who for real reasons want to leave areas that they're in, you know, in areas in the Middle East. And this particular research group called Semantic Visions says that they have now done this research, which shows, you know, even now people were in those areas in camps and tents, and they were still seeing adverts saying, right, if you pay 7,000 euros, we can get you through the troops.
Mm.
Which is just crazy.
What, and my thought begs here, is, how do we keep Facebook then responsible for this kind of fake news?
I think Facebook don't clamp down on this. I think they make money out of these adverts. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. And I think it's a very dangerous situation that social media platforms are being used in this way.
Mm.
And vulnerable people,
I think that's where it is,
falling prey to these lying predators. Mm.
If it's a case of you making money off adverts and it's, you know,
fake,
and it's adverts that are sort of credible adverts that are out there, and they make enough money out of that already. Why out of people suffering, make money?
It's a terrible story. Terrible.
Moving on from that, the world's first floating city will be built off the coast by South Korea, and that's about 2025 as a way for humanity to survive rising sea levels.
It's like science fiction.
Float your boat kind of thing.
It's science fiction. So there are quite a few. There's, I think, Business Insider and the Daily Mail have some quite graphic articles with these sort of, you know, these illustrations of what the future city will look like. Go and have a look online on these sites, and you'll have a look. It reminds me a bit of Waterworld, that Kevin Costner movie from 1995, where ocean levels were rising, and the whole movie, as I recall many years ago, all seemed to be happening on ships floating on the sea. Well, this design by OceanX is like a beehive design of hexagonal platforms. And then the plan is that they're going to have these ocean farms underneath, where they're going to grow edible ocean vegetables.
Oysters and mussels and
I think actual sort of like vegetables that you can grow in the sea, you know, sea vegetables. But it's fascinating to look at, and the idea is that this floating city will be able to survive tsunamis or rising oceans. I don't know if I believe that, but it looks beautiful, and I kind of think I wouldn't mind going to live there.
So it will be a flood-proof city. Have they watched that movie called, what is it, Deep South or Deep Sea or something with those sharks and things?
Well, I don't know how they're going to keep those at bay, but they're going to have these aquaponic systems that are going to use the waste from fish to fertilize the plants. I mean, it's like an amazing, perfect world. And obviously, this comes out of the COP conference and them saying that they're going to contribute to helping to make the world more sustainable. So, I mean, if people are interested in maybe where they can retire, maybe this is the place for you. The city that they're hoping to get going by 2025. I can't see it quite happening then, but maybe I'm just being cynical.
Bob Zwaya, everything discussed this morning is available for you on capetalk.co.za and a number of other things that are posted up every single day. Some of the very interesting interviews that we have on the various shows, you can get that at capetalk.co.za. Very good morning to you and welcome to Cape Talk. Just gone 19 minutes to 10.